You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Are you looking for a place to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially? At Celebration Tabernacle Church, our vision is to raise up people who will disciple, inspire, and encourage others because they have been transformed by the Word of God, overcome their own adversity, and mature to their highest potential and calling. Experience glorious worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Welcome to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with pastors Errol Beckford and Diana Robinson from Celebration Tabernacle Church in Cocoa. Tune in daily, Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and 8:30 p.m.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in it.
All this week, we have been talking about breaking new ground, releasing the old, and embracing the new. So we're going to go introduce this morning 3 points that we've actually been going through throughout the week. We just didn't state them, and we're going to incorporate them today into Acts 9. So Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we were in Acts 11, and today we're going to be in Acts 9, talking about the life of Saul, who was converted to Paul. Point number one, God is calling us to move beyond our comfort zone. So Peter, he was in his comfort zone, and he was called to move beyond his comfort zone. We studied that in Acts 11. And there's also a man by the name of Saul who had a comfort zone.
Yes.
Where he was the top guy. He was calling the shots. He was doing what he wanted to do. And he was persecuting those who followed the way, those who followed Christ. He was even getting letters from the top-notch officials to be able to go into other areas to persecute Christians there.
Yeah.
So he was definitely in his comfort zone. He was definitely the shot caller. He was the head guy, and he had all the authority that the world could give him to persecute the Church of Christ. Number two, new opportunity and new vision. So we must move forward, embrace the new. So he didn't know then that he was really serving a limited system of governance, even though he was empowered by the officials and he was getting his way to be able to go persecute the Christians and stuff. He now, when he has an encounter with Christ, he realizes, wait a second, with Christ, I could do more. I have a new opportunity and a new vision. So he goes from being a persecutor of the Church of Christ to expanding the Church of Christ. And, you know, he doesn't have a lot of help at first because the people are looking at him like, you're trying to set us up. There's no way we're going to hang out with you. There's no way we want to get together and study with you because you're just trying to get us together so you go back to your old way.
Yeah. I think about it. You only adored right there. Mm-hmm. But think about it. Would have done the same thing. I'm not going because I don't believe this guy.
I don't trust you.
I don't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
You killed so many of our people already. I know you coming. I would think it's just this is a decoy, it's a ply to get us all together so you can kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So there was a few select people that God put in position to be able to support. But otherwise, it was Saul studying the scriptures, building his foundation and his relationship with the Lord over a period of time before he became public. You know, sometimes we read the Bible so fast, we read right through Acts chapter 9, and then we're right into Acts chapter 10, and we're seeing all these things, signs and wonders break out without realizing that there was a span of time
before
where he was studying, where he was disciplined in the things of God, and he was building his relationship
with
God to be able to endure everything that was getting ready to come against him, you know, because when he was out there and he was killing Christians and he was persecuting the church, he wasn't being arrested. It was after when he starts preaching the gospel that they're like, wait a second now, this guy's a threat. Let us arrest him. And a lot of times, you know, when he was writing the epistles and stuff, these long letters with intent and meaning, he was actually on house arrest because he was being such persecuted for now going out and establishing the kingdom.
The truth, because you're absolutely right. I hope you listen understand that it didn't just go from Damascus, from the road of Damascus to this tremendous preacher and giant. Paul, he went into Arabia. And he stays in Arabia in the desert. And for 3 years, for 3 years, he studied intensely and considered. So, and I love that, Pastor Diana, that we need to study the word, and in studying it, consider it. And study it intensely so we can now hear what God is saying. Paul has to do that, Saul, before he become Paul. He was there for 3 years studying it and understood it very well so that when he comes back into the limelight and he himself now was met with persecution. So the persecutor is now being persecuted. You understand what was going on? The persecutor, which was Saul, is now persecuted. And he was able to withstand it. And another guy in the Bible that comes to my mind is Moses. Because Moses grew up in Egypt. Moses grew up there, know the custom of Egypt, know everything, and Moses got himself into trouble in Egypt. And Moses had to run away from Egypt. And he become a fugitive. And he stays 40 years away from Egypt. And those 40 years, he matured. And now God could use him. And after 40 years, God sent him back to the place where he ran from. God sent him back to confront Pharaoh. And he was running from the Pharaohs. Just think about that. So, but he went there with what? Confident, because he developed what? A relationship with God.
All three of them had to unlearn. Paul had to unlearn some ways. Peter had to unlearn some ways. Moses had to unlearn some ways. They had to release the old and embrace the new. They had to unlearn the religious ways that things were transpiring from generation to generation historically. And then they had to become acquainted with God. Learn his ways and embrace the new to be able to move forward. And they all led groups of people into a new era. They all led new generations of people, next generations of people, into greater relationship with the Lord and establishing his church.
I love that. We had to unlearn. So releasing those things that we're so familiar with, those things that we're accustomed with, those things that is the Holy Grail. we got to let them go so that we can take what God has for us, that lead us into a new path. And so in 2026, God is calling on us, just like how he called on Peter, just like how he called on Saul, and just like how he called on Moses. And all three guys have to give up their old idea and accept the new, embrace the new.
So I think God had a plan. You know, let's think about it. Moses should have been dead. Why? Because the Pharaoh commanded that all the firstborn be killed. But he found a way to make him be saved. He put in Moses' mother's mind to put him on the lake and to let him survive. And Paul. And Paul was a persecutor. He was in the church. Who would think God would choose somebody killing Christians to be the one to lead Christians? So the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes we have to embrace the change, because God already knows. He already had a plan. And so you have to be obedient in order for this plan to surface. And if Moses didn't want to, you know, if he had run away and he had said, no, I'm going to stay where I am. I don't want to go back. No, because I don't want to. Or if his mother didn't obey by putting him on the lake, none of this would have transpired. But there's always a plan when change has to occur. God has a way of letting us know what we need to do. And Paul, he was persecuted to no end, and it took a lot of time for people to even trust him, because he was the one killing everybody, you know? So the bottom line is God already knows it's up to us to embrace the change when it comes and we get called to do certain things. This world is full of people with mindsets. We all have the mindsets about the way things should be. And it's okay. We're all different. We all have our opinions. But sometimes these mindsets keep us from going forward. We just hang on to them like they're the Holy Grail. We need to be open-minded and to go forward and to open up our mind and our heart to see where our life is going so that our purpose can unfold and we can do what God intends for us to do.
And we just got to, in 2026, do not get stuck. Get unstuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in 2026, do not get stuck in a place where our own preconceptions, our own prejudice, our own stereotyping control our thinking and keep us stuck in a place, in that place. But to ask God by faith, move us out of those places. Because all these guys were stuck. So, but God moved them out of it. And so God can move you and I out of those places into higher ground, into ground of usefulness. And that's my prayers.
Yeah. Even now with the change in technology and stuff, you know, we're stepping into a new era. And then, you know, me and my husband were talking about, you know, we were skeptical about using some form of technology when doing something. And it had dawned on me. I said to him, I wonder how people felt like when the first typewriter came about, because people were just used to handwriting everything. Oh, yeah. So did they feel like they were cheating, you know, by using the one button of the typewriter? Because sometimes now with the technology we resist, we kind of feel like, well, we're cheating ourselves to be able to do this or that. But as long as we are the ones that are dictating the technology and the technology's not dictating us, and we're using it in order to redeem time, right? Because the Bible says that wisdom redeems time. And every time technology advances, it redeems time. So then the question is, what are we doing with that time that's being redeemed? Are we using it to edify the kingdom of God, or are we just using it to use more technology, right? If the technology is redeeming time, are we using that redeemed time then to go forward and do great things for God in the earth, or are we caught up and using the technology then as a distraction? So the time is being released through the technology, but then we're still using the technology as a distraction, or are we using it in the way, embracing the new in such a way for kingdom growth? Make your day count.
Thank you for joining us for our Make Your Day Count broadcast. Come and grow with us as we go forward this year. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Are you looking for a place to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially? At Celebration Tabernacle Church, our vision is to raise up people who will disciple, inspire, and encourage others because they have been transformed by the Word of God, overcome their own adversity, and mature to their highest potential and calling. Experience glorious worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Like you always.